By God's help, we're going to share some thoughts on the subject of faith. We need the Lord's blessings, and would you join us as we ask for God's blessings today? Our eternal God, thank you for the faith that we have today. We ask you that you will anoint the word. Through your Holy Spirit will convey to everyone the great importance of having faith. May even the children receive something that will be a blessing to them, not only today, but in the future days of their life. We look to you for help, and we ask you that you will bless. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Faith is very important. To back that up, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it tells of how it is impossible to please God without it. Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So this would place a great value on faith, and that without it, it is an impossibility to please God. So it is important that you know that. And it is a fact that the devil knows it. And in his subtle ways and his desire to destroy faith out of every individual's life, it says in John, the 10th chapter, that he is a thief. And he is out to steal faith out of your life. And he knows that if he can do that, that it is impossible for you to please God. In Nahum, the 2nd chapter, it gives a description on this thief and how bold he is. 2nd chapter of Nahum, 1st verse. He that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face. Keep the munition, watch the way, make thy loins strong, fortify thy powers mightily. Describing our adversary who is bent and relentless on destroying and stealing and robbing us of good things. And it tells how bold he is, that he will come up very close before your face. Years ago in California, they had a basketball coach, and he was very successful in his team winning national championship. His name was John Wooden. And he had a game plan
which included what they called a full court press. When the opposing team scores 2 points, they have to release the ball to have it in bounds to their opposition. The full court press would place somebody over here. Is this true? And he would be close enough that he could trash talk. You ever heard of trash talk? He could throw his arms around, swing his arms around, and he's got to get the ball inbounds to one of his teammates within how many seconds? 10 seconds? Anybody ever seen a full court press? Is this the way it operates? So, this fellow over here is trash talking this one, and the clock's ticking. And his arms is moving about, and he's saying, "You're not going to get it over." And he's looking him right in the face. Is there pressure? Is he bold? Well, this player here knows that if he turns this ball over to his opposition, that he can score more on him, possibly. So he wants to get this ball over to this player here. And he gets it across. But up here there's a center court. And you have a time frame to get it across there too. And in a full court press, they can again make it very, very difficult. And often, this UCLA team probably got the ball back here without the team that was wanting to get up here to make the basket work. He had an effective plan. So, the enemy, my soul, you know. Has he ever trash talked you? Huh? He did the children of Israel. He did David. Remember when David was courageous enough to give the word, "I'll face Goliath." All the other army, not a one would volunteer. David said, he gave them word that I will go face him. He was just young. I don't know that he had ever fought in a battle, but he had destroyed a lion and a bear, and he had a confidence and a faith in God. And he took and tried the equipment that was offered him, and it wasn't suitable at all. He shed that, and he went to face the giant. He'd give the dimensions he was, and he was very huge. And as he come towards David, he give him some trash talk.
Anybody remember what he said? He said, I'll feed your flesh to the... Well, he didn't say birds, but I'll say birds. He said the fowl. And he said, I'll let the beast of the field eat your flesh. It's in the 17th chapter, I think, of is it? Yeah, 1 Samuel. Oh, he was making a big boast about what he was going to do with David's body. And has anybody got that? 41st verse of 17th chapter of 1 Samuel. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto him, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine said unto David, Come to me. And here he goes with his trash talk. And I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beast of the field. So, here is this one-on-one battle, but Goliath did have a shield bearer, but David just had his sling and these stones to face, and Goliath was a champion, and that means when you're a champion, you've defeated every opponent. When an individual gets to be a champion in boxing, they don't get there by losing. They get there by beating their opponents. Goliath was a champion of the Philistine armies. There wasn't anyone in his army that was able to conquer him. There wasn't anyone probably in Israel's army but David that was able to conquer. And so he come with his trash talk. But David's faith didn't waver. When he saw him coming towards him, his faith remained. There was a shield bearer and Goliath, but yet the faith in God that he had surpassed what he saw. They used to sing a song, Faith is not what you can see. And so David faced the challenge. His faith remained. And he was able, through the power of God, that day, to slay the giant. But the giant, if he would have been persuasive enough with his trash talk, and when he said, I'm going to feed you to the beast of the field, your flesh, if David's faith would have wavered or failed there, and he would have failed to win the battle, wouldn't it? You know, the children of Israel started out with faith that we're going to get to the promised land, that we will make it. But a lot of them died in the wilderness due to unbelief. And you know what? A lot of them died after they heard some trash talk. Numbers, the 13th chapter and We'll read at the 32nd verse. Now listen to the trash talk that had a big influence and impact on the children of Israel's faith, or if they had any faith. Whatever they said really stirred them up. Well, they had been excited about what had been spoken to them, and Caleb had previously, before this 32nd verse, he had been able to still the people. After some of the report had been given, well, these spies had been sent out, 12 of them, they went to different locations in the land of promise to see what was over there. Our country, probably, before they would go to war with another country, would probably send out men, whether they observe by whatever method, to see what the enemy's like that we're going to be facing. Well, to see what the land's like. That was the strategy there at Moses' time, but anyway. So these men went over, and they went to different areas in Canaan, and they were to bring back what they saw over there. And they saw, of course, it was a land flowing with milk and honey and fruit, and they brought some of the grapes back. But the 28th verse, it's some of this trash talk. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Well, then we'll drop down to what happened when Caleb had a turn, the 30th verse. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, if you can imagine, after this report about how there's giants and there's strong walls and the impact that had on those people, and they were just a buzz. Have you ever been in a large assembly of people and something been said to incite them, and they just start talking? Well, he had to calm them down. He stilled the people. I don't know what he said. See, in the Sunday school last week, and Brother Curtis was telling about how he was in the Astrodome after Katrina, and they were the third day in there, and they were without food, and people was getting very, very, very worked up. They were using objects to make weapons. And Brother Curtis and his company was expecting a riot. Did he say there was 30,000 people in there? 30,000 people. Well, there was more than that here. But anyway, things was in an uproar. And no food. And they had been instructed how to do in case there was a riot. And they were expecting it. But he said, a woman, come up and asked for the microphone. And she began to sing. Just in a short time, there became a calmness that had not been before. She kept singing. And after a while, people started looking for their bed. Just changed the whole atmosphere. Caleb was able to steal this crowd. These people that was so, and Caleb stealed the people. And he had something very important to say. It wasn't trash talk. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. More trash talk. And they brought up an evil report, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land, though which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants of Anak, which come to the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. You see the trash talk there? And the impact that it had on this huge congregation, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey. Were it not better for us to return to Israel? You see how the impact of trash talk affected these people? They started murmuring, they started complaining, they murmured against God, they murmured against Moses, and God placed a judgment against them that they would die at a certain age. They'd never get into Canaan land. They would die in the wilderness. Unbelief. The spirits of unbelief has been released and is attacking those who have faith in God. Jesus himself asked the question in the 18th chapter of Luke, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he what find? Huh? Shall he find faith? That's up to each individual to answer, isn't it? We cannot afford to lose any faith.
If you have faith today, you're blessed. Anyone make a better claim than this? No volunteers, huh? Well, use your imagination and say, a couple's been on their honeymoon in Hawaii. And they're headed back to the United States. And this couple has had, fantastic honeymoon. And so they boarded their plane and they're out over the ocean. And they've been gone a ways, headed back to their home. And they're reminiscing as they sit there and having a nice, pleasant trip. And the captain comes on and says, I don't want to alarm you, but we've lost power in one of our engines. But we are confident that we'll be able to make it.
But this couple notice a drop in the altitude of the plane. And they're not going as fast as they had been before. But they go along for a while in that type of situation. They don't think so much about the past, the good time. They start feeling insecure. We had a nice honeymoon, but will we make it to the first anniversary? So they go along, and then the pilot comes on again. And he says, I don't want to further alarm you, but we just lost power in our second engine. But we do have the intentions of making it. What do you think that couple's thinking then? And they notice we're dropping lower. We don't have the power to be up here where we was when they said we're 36,000 miles. Or 36, not miles, but anyway, they can notice a drop. And they're going slower. Do you think they had the same kind of thoughts during that part of the flight than they did before they lost the power? The enemy's out to chip away people's faith. You believe it? Children of Israel started out thinking, we're going to get to Canaan land. But unbelief kept them from getting there. They failed in their faith. To lose any faith, do you ever remember anyone at one time seemingly had it down pat and had faith? And something happened in life. That they failed. So it is. If you lose any power or any of your faith, it's going to weaken you. Can it drop your spiritual altitude to lose any of it? Can it slow you down? May God help us that we don't lose any faith in God, in his people, in his plan. Has the enemy ever challenged your faith on any line? May God help us when the trash talk comes. When the enemy's bold enough to bring pressure, stress and strain, that our faith won't waver. May he pray for us like he did Peter. You think Peter's the only one the enemy wanted to sift? Not fun, is it, to be sifted? Peter's not the only one that has ever been sifted. Satan wanted to sift him. And Satan got an advantage of him. But Jesus said to Peter, I pray for you. Oh, may he pray for me. That your faith don't fail. You know, Peter was going to need faith because of his awful failure. Of back to back, three times in succession, and the final time cursing and swearing and denying to know Jesus. Wouldn't that take faith to surmount that? But Jesus prayed for him, and his faith didn't fail. And when he repented, God, Jesus, forgave him. So may the Lord pray for us that our faith doesn't fail. If you say, oh, it'll never happen to me. I heard a grandpa read a text from his granddaughter who's attending West Point. Her physics teacher said creation was a bucket of spit. This is the kind of people that's standing before young people. Do you think that that helps a person to believe God? When a man standing up here, highly educated, tells that. The unbelief is out there, folks. Young people, beware. The enemy wants to rob you of your simple faith in God. May God bless us today. Thank God there are some who have kept the faith. That in those times of temptations, when they could have did otherwise, when the three Hebrew children could have bowed, but they had a faith in God. We know he will deliver us. We don't know the outcome, but we know he's going to deliver. But if not, we're not going to bow. If your faith is tried, does it take more faith to get an answer to prayer or a denial? Denying of it. And when they threw them into that heated furnace, the men that threw them in, it was so powerful the heat was that it caused their death. But to those who had a relentless faith in God, when the old king looked in there, they weren't cremated, ashes. They were up walking around. Mighty power. Their faith didn't fail. Paul's faith didn't fail. He had shipwreck, viper bite, beaten, put in prison. He went through so much, but his faith held firm. And he come up with a bold testimony to the end. I finished my course. I fought a good fight. And I kept the faith. Got the privilege to look upon the tombstone of Brother Austis Wilson. And that very scripture was on that tombstone. It can be that we can keep the faith. That we don't have to lose. There's been some mighty, mighty heroes of faith talked about in this 11th chapter of Hebrews. How they were able to do outstanding things by faith. Noah built the ark. By faith, Moses refused to be in line for kingship. Refused to suffer rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But there's a hero of faith that isn't in this 11th chapter. Her name is Karen LaCroix. She had a pulpit ministry at one time. But she preached the most powerful message. Not from back here, but from the life that she lived. I was in a LaRonger assembly meeting when Sister Karen was quite enlarged. I was over maybe the third row back from the front. She was on the opposite side. They were singing a song, "How Firm a Foundation, Ye Saints of the Lord, Is Laid for Your Faith in His Excellent Word. What more can He say? And to you He has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled." I don't know exactly what the words were being sung when I looked over to Sister Karen, but that was the song. I didn't see her with her head down. She'd been through a lot besides her affliction. Things that probably gripped her heart, saddened her. But she didn't have her head down. But she had her hand up. I don't want to forget that. A hero of faith. She went through a whole lot more than that after that scene that I beheld. But as far as I know, she didn't bend or bow, but she kept faith in God. No, she's not recorded in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, but she's recorded in my mind. Do we need more of these faith heroes in 2014? May God bless us today. The importance of faith. If I could only stress it, but may God and the Holy Spirit convey it, that we've got to have it. We can't afford to lose any of it. May God help us when the trash talk comes, that we'll be able to retain our faith in God. The song poet in 284 expressed that his faith would not decrease, but he said, "My cry shall be till time shall cease, O blessed Lord, my faith increase." What words this song has. As far above the howling storm, secure from dangers, reach and harm, triumphantly the eagle flies, my soul on wings of faith would rise. When raging is the tempest blast, ere yet his wrath is overpast, my soul would rise from earthly woes to leave the stormy winds below. upon the troubled, restless waves, his fearful trembling ones to save. The master walked and calmed the sea, the wildly tossing Galilee. By faith again I hear his voice in tones which make my heart rejoice. When fear my soul with terror thrills, he gently whispers, "Peace be still." The lilies clothed in garments fair, the ravens flying through the air. Our blessed Father cares for all. He seeth even the sparrows that fall, the sparrows, the nuisance birds, the birds that you don't see at the zoo in a glass display. If you see them, they might be in the rafter or someplace flying around. But Jesus, he looks at the sparrows when they fall. Little boy taking his gun out and shooting one down. He falls to the ground. Jesus sees it. His children, more he surely loves. Their cry, his heart with pity moves. Though thorns be strewed. And sometimes life is thorny, isn't it? Here a while back I was out and I got in some cuckleburrs or something. And oh my, it was awful. Sometimes in life things are not always pleasant. Difficulties, hardships, reverses. Though thorns bestrew the path we trod, he whispers, "Still have faith in God. The waves around may fiercely roll. They cannot harm my trusting soul. Regardless, not what I may see. My faith, O Lord, ascends to thee. The darkest night and brazen sky are pierced by faith's unfailing eye. My cry, may it be our cry, shall be till time shall cease. O blessed Lord, my faith increase." Father, today, thank you for the faith you have given us. If we didn't have any, there would be no possibility we would please you. Thank you. We wanted to stand, not falter, in the temptations and battles of life. We don't know what all we will face in our futures. But we want our faith to remain, to not fail. May we be strong in faith. May the power of God give us faith in transfusions when our faith gets, if it gets to wavering a little bit, if trash talk penetrates into our thoughts. Lord, help us to be able to rise above it through the power of the Holy Spirit. We need you, Jesus. Would you pray for us like you prayed for Peter? We want you to do it. Please do it for us that we might be able, that our faith won't fail. We have different trials, we have different tests, we have different things to face in life. But may the grace of God and the faith of God see us through, and that we can cross the finish line with faith and confidence in you. We ask these blessings in Jesus' precious name. Bless these children, Lord, that nothing will ever cause them to lose any faith in God. Protect them from unbelieving spirits that are out to destroy and rob. Lord, bless them. That's this congregation. Brother Michael and Sister Renee. All of your people here. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.